a deep and sincere thank you for your every kindness is expressed to me in terms of cards and gifts and prayers, most of all prayers. This is my first Christmas here at St. Mary Help of Christians, and I'm very honored and pleased to be here with you. Also, special thanks to everyone here that's making this Mass, and all the Masses so very special, our Director of Sacred Music, the choir, the ushers, the extraordinary ministers, the altar servers, the lectors, the Mass coordinators. I can go on and on and on. And I just wanted to say briefly, when I'd been here like a week or so or something like that in March, and this man came up to me and he said, he introduced himself as the Christmas elf, right? I think a lot of you know him. But anyway, he said, I'll tell you I'm the Christmas elf. And then 2 weeks later, he told me again, I'm the Christmas elf. And, you know, I'm thinking, why am I hearing about this in March, you know? Well, look around how beautiful this church is tonight. And the Christmas elf, with a whole lot of other elves and angels, have made this happen. And it's just absolutely wonderful. So thank you. As you know, this is a challenging day as well for Father Orlando and for me. We deeply appreciate all of your prayers. I want you to know it's a lot to accomplish, but it is a great joy. As I meet and greet you, everyone brings their own personal joy and blessing to me. That in turn energizes me and lifts me up as I move on to celebrate the next Mass at 6 and then the one at midnight. And of course, the Word of God and the Eucharist are our staples as Catholics. Each of the Christmas Masses, Vigil, Midnight, Dawn, and Christmas Day, has its own separate readings. Each set of readings is so very rich and deep. It's like a mini course on the Incarnation. Our Gospel reading for today, I'm sure, was everyone's favorite Gospel story, right? The genealogy of Jesus. Of course, it's not really a favorite, but it is a very important gospel. We might begin by asking, why would you ever start a book with a genealogy? I can assure you that none of those books that you see in the bookshop at the airport start with a genealogy, that's for sure. Well, St. Matthew is writing this gospel, his good news to the Jews and for the Jews. If anything was important to them, it was the story of the family of Israel, the people of God, and how God had been working wonders in their lives and in their nation from the beginning. This was the story of their family. It's a story that begins with the call of Abraham and then leads all the way through to the birth of Jesus as Messiah. This genealogy is incredibly deep and rich, so I'll just hit a very few points. Verses 5 and 6. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David the king. You'll recall that a couple of weeks ago in the Advent readings, we read concerning the Jesse tree, about the shoot from the stump of Jesse's tree. This is another way of proving to you that Christ isn't just going to be born into any family, but rather the royal family of the people of Israel, the royal family of David. The genealogy continues with a long list of kings, the list of the royal family, and then concludes in verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. So notice what has been revealed here. Matthew has given you a powerful insight into the fact that Joseph belongs to the royal family. Matthew, writing for his first century audience, primarily Jewish Christians, has firmly established Jesus' royal pedigree beyond a doubt. Through Joseph's adoption, Jesus becomes the heir to the throne of David. In first century Israel, Joseph's adopted fathership is as legally binding to the royal line of David as any biological fathership would be. Then our gospel account continues as Matthew writes. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Just a couple of points here. First, the angel speaks to Joseph in a dream and tells him, she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. This name, Jesus, literally means the Lord saves, Yeshua in Hebrew. You're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And from verse 18, Mary was found with child through the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth. Jesus is not just the adopted son of Joseph from the royal family of David, an heir to the throne of King David. No, he is much, much more. He's also the divine Son of God, conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he is Emmanuel, God with us. As you listen to the first reading, you might have wondered why it was chosen for the Vigil Mass. Isaiah 62 is a prophecy of the New Jerusalem, and it richly depicts God as the divine bridegroom. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. You see, the Jews, as they reflected on God coming to save them, didn't see God as a judge or as a king, but rather as the bridegroom. In the deep mystery, God was the bridegroom, the divine person who is so in love with his creatures that he wants to enter a relationship of love with them, a relationship that's a marriage, a marital covenant. God is the divine bridegroom who is pursuing humanity to save them from their sins. So how does this reading tie into the incarnation? We know from the church fathers that the incarnation was nothing less than the wedding of human and divine natures of God and man. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that the one reason God revealed himself through the mystery of the incarnation was to show us his gratuitous love. The primary goal of the incarnation is to reveal to us that God doesn't just want to save us from sin and death or separation from him. No, he wants union with us, communion with us. He wants a relationship so powerful and so intimate that it could only be described as a marriage. In the liturgy of the Eucharist, when the priest or deacon adds a drop of water to the wine before the consecration, he says quietly, "By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." St. Augustine and other fathers said that although the marriage between God and man, between Christ and the church, is going to be consummated on the cross, there is a real sense in which it begins in the mystery of the incarnation. In the incarnation of Jesus Christ, heaven and earth, God and man, divine and human, are married to one another. So we all here in this glorious Christmas season to celebrate this awesome marriage between God and man, the incarnation of our Lord. And to help us properly acknowledge this mystery, when we say the creed tonight, we will genuflect at the words, "and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary." The cause of Christian joy isn't gift-giving. The cause of Christian joy isn't a trouble-free life. The cause of Christian joy is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. This Christmas, may all of us open up space for God. And how might we do this? 10 focused minutes a day in prayer would be a good start. If you're doing more than that, praise God. If not, start with 10. The next 8 days are particularly dedicated to celebrating Christmas. In the Catholic tradition, this is called the Octave of Christmas. So from today up until and including January 1st, commit to dedicating at least 10 minutes of dedicated time to prayer. Here's an idea. The readings for all the Christmas Masses are very rich and profound. Holy Mother Church offers us 4 Masses, the Vigil, the Night Mass, Mass at Dawn, and Mass at Christmas Day. You can find all these readings in your personal missal or on several apps, such as Laudate, Evangelii Net, or at the USCCB website. As a suggestion, during this octave of Christmas, why not plan on spending a special 10 minutes a day in prayer and reflection, praying through the readings for each of the Christmas Masses, meditating on the great mystery of the Incarnation. You'll be richly blessed and rewarded as you do that. We are going to receive the Eucharist in just a few minutes. Emmanuel, God with us. The Word made flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the Eucharist, he makes his dwelling in our souls. In the Eucharist, God constantly pursues us. As you celebrate the Incarnation, may you treasure his eternal gift to us.